Challenge there, because they're identical with what Paul's going to do with us. If you have your Bible open to Philippians 3, we're going to be studying. Paul's going to say to us, guys, we were made for more. I love the line, the cross of salvation was only the start. You see, when we think about joy, I'm afraid often we only see it in two places. We see it in the moment of salvation. We see it in that moment where our sins are washed away and everything changes. And then we anticipate it in heaven when everything will be perfect. But what the Apostle Paul's going to say to us this morning is, joy is not just found in the moment you're saved and not just found in heaven. It's for right now, even in this fallen world. Sometimes we betray ourselves. We ask this kind of question. If Jesus were to come back right now, would you know? Thank you very much. A little scratchy. If Jesus were to come back right now, would you know? Are you going to heaven or hell? And that's a good question in one sense. But the Apostle Paul would say, he's already here. It's not a matter of whether he's coming back. The question would probably be, not whether you'd go to heaven or hell. The question would be, are you enjoying Jesus now? Can you just look back and go that moment where everything was taken care of, or the moment where I'll go to heaven, or can you see right now you're made for more? Now, the Apostle Paul expresses this. Look at this translation, Philippians 3, verse 10. I gave up all the inferior stuff. Remember, Paul mentioned all the things he had before he came to Christ. I gave up all the inferior stuff so I could know Christ personally, experience his resurrection power, be a partner in his suffering, and go all the way with him to death itself. Now, Paul's not talking about I did this to go to heaven. Paul's saying I am seeking Jesus. He's so much better than anything I've ever had. And what I want right now is I want every bit of him that I can get. I want to know him. I want to experience him. I'm not just going to experience him in the high points of life. I'm experiencing even in suffering. In this fallen, crazy world, Jesus is with us. And God, so here's my challenge. I hope I can communicate this well today. He wants you to be full of joy right now, no matter how messed up your life may be. Reminds me of C.S. Lewis, the famous writer. His autobiography was called Surprised by Joy. And basically what Lewis said in that is that his whole life, like all of us, he had always sought joy. And through life, he might find a certain author or a certain activity, or maybe even a certain person that would bring him joy. But the problem was, it didn't last. He said, I'd find this book or this author or this, and I would binge on it. We understand that. You know, sometimes we find something we really love. Maybe you find we even talk about that with Netflix. You find a Netflix show you just really love, and you go, I'm just going to binge on it. But here's what Lewis found out, is it didn't bring him joy in the long run. There was the law of diminishing return. What might have first given him a thrill, in the long run, it all diminished until he met Jesus. And it wasn't diminishing, it was increasing. And that's what Paul's saying to us this morning. Guys, I want to know him so bad. I want to fellowship him on the good days with resurrection power. I want to fellowship him when I'm suffering. I want to fellowship him all, because here's what it's all about. It's not about how much I've got or how much I don't have, or life going my way or life not going my way. What it's all about is me walking with Jesus the whole way. So let's learn from the Apostle Paul as he challenges us to get our focus right. Look at verses 12 through 14, Philippians chapter 3. Paul's very honest here. He says, not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what's behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which Christ Jesus called me heavenward. I love that. So what do we learn from Paul about keeping our eyes on the road? Because as we're going on this joyride, the challenge is to keep our eyes on Jesus. He's the road. Let me just go and tell you the whole sermon today. Jesus is the beginning. Jesus is the end. And he's the road in between. So how do you stay focused on the road? Now, you want to destroy a joyride? Get your eyes off the road, and all of a sudden you find yourself in a wreck. And Paul says, I want to keep you from that. So what are some things we learn in those verses? First of all, I love Paul's humble honesty. Twice he says, guys, I've not arrived. I'm not there yet. Now, please understand a distinction here. Paul is completely satisfied with his salvation. He's not satisfied with his sanctification. What's that? He knows he's saved in Christ, but he knows he's still being transformed. He's still got a ways to go. Because true maturity is knowing you've not arrived. If you ever run into some Christian who thinks they've arrived and they've got all the answers, beware. Stay as far away as you can. Even the Apostle Paul says, guys, I'm not there yet. I still want more of Jesus. I'm still not like Jesus as much as I'd like to be. So number one, you start with a humble honesty. And even this morning in our assembly, if you can be humble enough to say, my eyes aren't on Jesus. I'm not consumed with Jesus. I'm obsessed with some things, but it's not him. Second, Paul's deliberate amnesia. I love that line. He's forgetting what lies behind. That's one of Satan's greatest tools in our life, is to keep us focused on the past. It could be the great things of our past, something you accomplished 10 years ago, but for most of us, it's normally the bad things of our past. And Satan convinces us that we need to focus on that. Because listen, when you're taking a joyride, a rearview mirror is useful for perspective, but it's dangerous for direction. That's why in your car, your windshield's a whole lot bigger than that little rearview mirror. Because Paul says, you can't keep looking back to the past. Oh, learn from the past. Acknowledge the past. He's not even saying you can do the impossible and completely forget it. He's saying, don't let it hold you back. Because it's easy to get stuck in the past and yesterday's traffic. Can I ask you this morning, is your past holding you back? Maybe a glory day you look back and think, wow, that was when life was great. Or maybe for most of us, when you made the biggest mistakes of your life. I know too many people in this church that are held back because they cannot let go of things they did in the past. And Paul's saying, if you're going to pursue this goal, you've got to let go. So his honesty, his amnesia, Paul's passionate pursuit. Well, it's a great picture. I press on. The picture Paul is giving here of the intensity with which he's hard after Jesus. The picture here is an athletic term. It's the finishing tape. It's a runner who's side by side with someone, but finishes and wins because they press their chest out just a little further. He's pressing on toward that goal. And Paul says, I'm going to tell you what I do. I want to find and experience and know Jesus. Listen, after Paul's saved, and after you're saved, because it's not this passive experience, you know, I hope I'll make it to heaven, you know. Let's just sort of, you know, life's sort of miserable right now, and maybe we can sort of make our way through this, and one day it's really going to be good. No, Paul says, right now. What we're supposed to be doing between those two spots is pursuing Jesus with everything we've got. The psalmist says, as a deer pants for water, so God, I seek you. Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Because there's got to be a part of me that wants more than just existence, more than just going to church, more than just doing the right things. It's I want Jesus. And then that brings us to the next point, Paul's singular priority. Paul's so focused on knowing Jesus, he says something on surface sounds like a lie. One thing I do. Come on, Paul. We know you're a preacher. We know you're a missionary. We know you're a tent maker. What's he saying then? Is he lying? No, no. He's saying, compared to seeking Jesus, those things don't even count. If you looked at my life and you go, what's your life about? You could look at it and there it's so focused, so passionate in this pursuit. There is one thing I do. It's not that he doesn't do other things. It's that nothing else compares. See, because our problem is we have too many passions, too many competing passions. Not bad things. Some might be. Some are good. I love some of the scriptures that say this very same thing. My favorite Psalms is Psalms 27, where David says, one thing I ask of the Lord, one thing I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. What are you saying? The one thing I want is connection with God. Jesus says to the rich young ruler, whose life is good, he wants Jesus, he wants religion, but he wants other things too. And Jesus says, you've got one thing you lack. And then that compelling scene with Mary and Martha, when Martha is so scurried around trying to get the kitchen ready and not spending time with Jesus. And Jesus rebukes Martha for her distractions and says, Mary has chosen the one thing that's needed. Let's land here for a second, guys. Can your life, can my life, can it be focused on one thing, the point that I could say, guys, I do a lot of different things in my life, and those are all sort of cool, but there's one thing I really do. You see, Satan's tactic for us, and especially in the affluent age that we live, is too many desires. Like C.S. Lewis said in his autobiography, there's so many things that might bring me joy in a moment, but they don't last. You know, maybe, you know, the beginning of your career and you're accomplishing great things and just, man, it just fires you up. But now you've been doing it for a while. It's lost its luster. Or maybe you even made it to the top and it wasn't what you expected. Maybe it's your success and you get a big high from the next success, but eventually it dissipates. Or maybe it's a person that you think, man, if I could marry this person, if I could befriend this person, if I could, and again, it's good. But guess what? The closer you get to that person, the more you're going to find out they're as flawed as you are. It's not going to be perfect. Maybe it's your sports team, man. Like Nathan said earlier, thank you, Nathan. Us Alabama fans, we experienced that yesterday. Now, we've been on a roll, but we all know it's going to come to an end. Well, whoever you cheer for, I mean, there's good days, but you're going to go through those, you know, those rough days. And so if you think your joy is going to come from, and let's just be honest, too many of us are so obsessed with this. Our joy, I'm telling you, if your joy is less today, if you're an Alabama fan, than it was Friday, you got a problem. Because it's not meant, I mean, it's great, it's a great diversion, but it's not meant to be your life. And so, guys, we go after all these things, and for a moment, they bring a sense of satisfaction and joy and a high, and then, I mean, maybe it's the next purchase, you know, every time you could buy something new, or a new car, a new house, and it seems so awesome, but eventually it's an old car, and it's an old house, and it's not doing it. So here's the world's answer. Okay, the world is, okay, if nothing's going to satisfy, well, then let me detach myself from passion. Let me stop caring. One answer is stop caring so much. If Alabama's going to break your heart, just don't care about it. If Auburn's broke your heart your whole life, just don't care about it. Sorry. You know what that is? That's Buddhism. Buddhism is you find joy. No, you don't find joy. You find satisfaction when you stop desiring things. Buddhism says, if I can detach myself from things I desire, then they don't let me down. Paul would say, no, don't do that. There is something, there is better, someone who can satisfy. Your job can't forever. Your relationships can't forever. Jesus can. That's what he's saying. That's what Paul says. Okay, guys, here's what you're going to have to do. You have to let go of some of these other things. Don't go detach yourself and say, I'm just going to stop caring about life so I don't get hurt by life. No, care about the person who will always be there. Care about the God who will walk with you all the way through life, all the way through eternity. Care about, may that be your number one passion. So how is Paul so motivated? What's Paul's, what I call profound motivation? Jesus took hold of me. I hope you notice that in verse 12. Jesus took hold of me. Paul never forgot that road in Damascus when God blinded that driven man to all of his ambition, humbled him, and he met Jesus. He never forgot it. And so what he's saying here in Philippians, Paul, you know, life is hard. And between salvation and heaven, it's not, you know, just tiptoeing through the tulips. Paul understands that. Listen to some other translations of verse 12. Jesus grabbed me and he won't let go. Jesus has taken hold of me. Okay? So there's the motivation. Now listen to how it plays out. I press on to take hold of what Jesus has taken hold of me. I love it. He says, when I was a goofed up sinner, Jesus came after me and my goodness, he grabbed my heart and he won't let go. Well, what are you going to do, Paul? I'm going to love him back. Now, this thing with Jesus is a relationship. If you're just sitting around waiting on him to zap you for things to get the way, forget it. He's done everything he can, man. He went to the cross for you. And what Paul's saying is, man, I can't, what are you going to do about it, Paul? Just go on my life, you know, go on all my little hobbies. No. I may do those things, but they're not comparing to this one thing I do. It's I grab hold of this Jesus who's grabbed hold of me. That's the response. And guys, if you've not experienced Jesus coming after you, grabbing hold of you, then let me tell you this morning, he's after you, man. He's pursuing you. The reason you may be in this place today is because he's pursuing a relationship with you. But please, he wants it to be a love relationship. So it's got to be reciprocal. You ever really cared about someone, pursued someone, wanted somebody, and they never reciprocated? It can never be what it should be. And with Jesus, he's like, I'm after you with everything I've got, and I want this relationship. And I went all the way to the cross. I resurrected to give you life. What's Paul saying? I'll tell you what. I'm so enthralled with Jesus, man. I want to grip him like he's gripped me. So let's keep going a little bit further. A couple more points. Look at verse 17. Paul says something that seemed almost a little braggadocious, but pretty bold. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. Along the road, here's what you need to do. First of all, if you're going to stay on this road, you need to be aware of good examples. Guys, we can't say this too many times. You become like the people you hang out with. If you hang out with negative, cynical people, you're going to be a negative, cynical person. But you hang out with someone like the Apostle Paul. Oh, he wasn't perfect. He's told us he wasn't perfect. But he said, I can dang sure tell you this. I'm after Jesus more than anything else in my life. You follow me, you're getting to Jesus. Because that's why God gave us this church. And so you have some friends that are after Jesus. Number one, do you have those friends? Number two, are you that friend? Could you look to someone across this aisle this morning and say, I don't know what you're going to do and I don't know how you're going to make it, but I can tell you this, if you'll follow me, you're getting to Jesus. So surround yourself with those people. No wonder some of us are so negative. No wonder some of us are so down. We're not surrounding ourselves with people who are pursuing Jesus. And then he warns us about those bad people that we need to stay away from. Look at verse 18 and 19. For I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. And their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. Beware, be aware of good examples, but also be aware of bad examples. Maybe we should use the word beware of bad examples. Be careful who you choose to travel with. Because they may introduce you to things that might momentarily satisfy, but won't last, right? It's like a good mama. She's fixed a good meal. It's going to be a few minutes before it's ready to be put on the table. And the little kid comes in and says, Mom, can I get some candy out of the candy jar? And what she can say to him, no, you can't. This might do what? It may take away your appetite. Guys, here's what Satan does to us, guys. He offers us so many little pieces of candy that we take that mess up our appetite. Oh, guys, God's not being unreal with you. It's not to say there's no allure to those things. It's not to say there's not some excitement. It's not to say there's not a momentarily pleasure. It's not long-lasting. So what Paul's saying is stay away from those things that ruin your appetite for Jesus. What you must have is a lifelong pursuit of Jesus. Guys, are you getting the point, okay? Are you getting the point? That's all I'm trying to say today. I'm not even giving you the ways to do this. That's why we've had Bible classes on spiritual disciplines. That's why, but right now, if you don't make your mind up that you are after Jesus more than you're after anything else in your life, Paul's saying you're falling off the road. So what's the goal, Paul, right now, man? The goal is to know Christ, to experience Christ, to be like Christ. Now look at this passage we're grabbing out of 1 Corinthians 13 that fits our message today. What's the end of the road? I love what Paul writes here. For now, right now, we see only a reflection. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Paul says the end of the road. What heaven will be is not something completely separate from what you did here on this earth. Heaven is the complete fulfillment of it. He says, you're going to fully know Christ. John says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, when he comes back, you're going to see him face to face. And this is crazy. You're going to be just like him. It's finally going to happen. You're going to fully know him. But here's the other side. You're also going to be fully known. You know what real love is? Maybe you've experienced this with a friend. Maybe you've experienced this with your spouse. I hope you have. Real love is when someone knows you fully. The good, the bad, the beautiful, the ugly. They know you fully and they still love you. That's real love. And Paul says, at the end of the road, Jesus knows everything about you and he still loves you. And you know everything, perfect thing about him, and you love him. You're fully known. You're fully loved. So the question for us right now, guys, is, are your eyes on the road? If we're seeking for joy, I understand joy at that moment of salvation. I come out of that water and, man, I'm perfect in God's eyes. Wouldn't you love, you know, if when you come out of the water, God would just take you to heaven? Beam me up, Scotty. It's time. Let's go. Fool with this world here. We understand that. We understand heaven, but here's what Paul's saying. Don't discount right now. Right now may not be perfect, but it is, man, it's awesome. Because what are you going to be doing all the way until that day of glory happens is you're going to be pursuing and growing and knowing Jesus and slowly but surely becoming a little bit more like Jesus. That's right now. So are your eyes on the road? Maybe I should ask the question better. Are your eyes on Jesus? Paul said here, did you catch this? He said, he's the prize. He's the prize. It's like that pearl of great price you studied back in the parables this summer. If you understand the prize, you'll sell everything you've got to pursue it. Like I said at the beginning, it's a very simple message today, very challenging message for me. Listen, guys, Jesus is the beginning, he's the end, and he's the road in between. So time out, dudes. Are your eyes fixed on him? I'm not asking right now you're perfect. I'm asking if you're coming to church. I'm not asking if you're a decent person. I'm just asking you, are you consumed with Jesus? The problem with our age is there's too many other things to be consumed with. Now go back to that story we mentioned a little while ago. Jesus comes to the home of Mary and Martha. Can you imagine how excited they were to have Jesus in their home? Jesus comes and Martha, man, she's excited, man. So she's back in the kitchen trying to get a meal on the table. She wants it to be perfect, but lo and behold, she looks in the den and what's her sister Mary doing? Just shooting the breeze with Jesus. And Martha is quite ticked off, isn't she? Not many people rebuke Jesus, but Martha tried. She walks in the den and she says, Jesus, are you paying attention to what's going on here? Don't you see that she's not helping me? And she even commands Jesus, tell her to help me. And Jesus says something, Martha, I need to hear this morning. You may too. Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about so many things. That only one thing matters. And Mary has chosen. I'm telling you this morning, guys, only one thing matters. And that's staying at the feet of Jesus. Pursuing him to such a degree, you could walk out of here and say, what are you going to do this week, buddy? I really don't know everything, but I'm telling you the one thing I'm going to do. The one thing is I'm going headlong, face first, after Jesus. This morning, we're about to sing. And today, if you need the prayers of this church, if you know, man, you know, I've been a bad person, but I'm not on the road. I've been so distracted and diverted that Jesus is not the center of my life. And I need a public pronouncement. I need the prayers of this whole church to go, let me get back focused. You weren't trying to be bad. You weren't trying to choose even evil. You've been so distracted that you can't say, there's one thing I do. You just can't say it. And we could pray for you. You could leave this place and listen to me. The joy is not just back when you were saved. The joy is not just when you get to heaven. Man, this is a joy ride right now as you walk with Jesus. If we can help you, come right now while we stand and sing.
Lord, I come, I confess, Bowing near, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.
Okay, here we go. You got to be kidding me. Thomas Kilo is the only person who needs to be on this front row. I love Thomas. I'm glad Thomas is doing better. We're going to pray for him. And I hear some of you say things like, oh, I'd never be on that front row. You got to be kidding me. That says something about your heart. If you've ever said that, that says something about your heart. That's just not me. Well, it better be you. There are times you need prayers. There are times where you've been diverted and distracted and you're not on the road. You know, I'm not trying to force anybody to come, but if you're sitting there, you're going, oh my goodness, I needed this message, man. I'm my eyes aren't focused on Jesus. And it would, we give you a chance for the prayers of the whole church, and your pride's going to say, well, not going to let anybody see. And even the Apostle Paul said, I'm not there. I've not arrived. If he can do it, I mean, he's awesome. Can I? This morning, I'm telling you, if you're holding back and you need these prayers and you know it's been so off track, yes, thank you. God bless you. Come on up here. If you need to be up here for prayers, not because I'm trying to push you, but because, man, a light bulb's come on. This message is so simple. It's not complicated. It's just simply, could you say there's one thing I do in my life that counts? You know why so many other things are bothering you so much today? Because they count too much. So, man, if you need to be here, just come. Let's pray. Let's close this thing out right.